Church, Habakkuk is a prophet who has been praying to God. And Habakkuk does not understand why God has not been answering his prayers. Sound familiar to somebody on this call? I think we've all faced that dilemma at one point or the other. In chapter 1, verse 2, Habakkuk has been crying out for help because he does not feel like God is listening. Habakkuk does not understand why he cannot see God acting. God, Lord, where are you? Sound familiar again? God then responds to Habakkuk, telling him that he's going to do something so unbelievable that even if it were explained hard language, he couldn't believe it. Church, God declares that he will use Babylon, the Babylonians rather, a terrible and wicked nation, to sweep over the land in judgment. God has provided, Brother Scott, a shocking and hard answer to Habakkuk's prayer. What will Habakkuk's response be to this hard answer from God? And the reason that I went to this story, church, this morning is because I want us to learn regarding how to respond to God's hard answers or when we don't think he's responding at all. Some of you may know the story, many of you won't, but you're going to know it when you leave. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 12 through 17, Habakkuk is in shock at God's answer. Habakkuk received the answer that God gave, the way God said he would receive it. That's how he received it. Habakkuk is shocked by this answer. Habakkuk begins by Brother Scott acknowledging God's character and then questions God even further. Look at verse 12. Notice that Habakkuk proclaims that God is holy, pure, and his rock. Habakkuk further acknowledges God's answer. You have established the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, to be the instrument of punishment. Church, look at verse 13. God is too pure to look on evil and cannot tolerate wrong. It's interesting. God is too pure to look on evil and cannot tolerate wrong. But notice Habakkuk's problem at the end of verse 13. Why, Lord, do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallow up the man more righteous than he? In other words, Lord, are you saying that you're going to use the wicked to punish the righteous? Church, do you hear Habakkuk's problem? God is pure and holy, and he cannot look at wrong. If that's the case, then how can you let the wicked swallow up those that are more righteous? In other words, Lord, I know we're bad and we're worthy of judgment, but they are worse and really deserve judgment. They are worse than us. Why would you let the wicked, Lord, prosper and let those who are more righteous be swallowed up by them? Church, the rest of Habakkuk's response shows how bad of a solution this is. In verses 14 and 15, Habakkuk says that we are completely helpless, Lord. like fish, waiting to be captured. In verses 16 and 17, Habakkuk reveals that the Babylonians are arrogant and glory in themselves. They are merciless, Lord. They are worldly and wicked. Lord, are you going to let them get away with this? Church, here's what I want us to see about God's answers. Sometimes, maybe many times, God's answers are hard answers. And sometimes they cause us to have more questions. But we shouldn't be surprised by this. Did Habakkuk say anything, listen, that God didn't already know? God already told Habakkuk that the Babylonians were a wicked nation. So Habakkuk is not giving God any new information. Church, listen, we, Heartland, as we pray, are not giving God any new information when we're struggling with God's answers to our prayers. I want to say that again because I want you to get this. Church, listen, we are not giving God any new information when we question him and we have a rebuttal when we're struggling with God's answers to our prayers. God said his answer would be unbelievable, even if it were explained. The Apostle Paul in Romans 11:33 proclaimed that God's ways are untraceable and unsearchable. Heartland, God's answers are sometimes hard, and we may not understand what God is doing. God says that, says this rather, and Habakkuk is confirming this. Church, listen, God's answers can cause you and I to have more questions. But in Habakkuk 2:1, I want you to watch Habakkuk's stance to what God has just said. Listen to how Habakkuk concludes his response. He pictures himself like a man standing on the watchtower, looking for a messenger returning from battle with news. Habakkuk knows God is going to give a response and is waiting to receive it. Habakkuk does not think he's won the argument with God. Rather, he knows that he will be corrected by God's answer, and he understands that he will have more than or that he will want to say to God. However, church, Habakkuk is not challenging God. Habakkuk knows that he has not stumped God with his response. He knows he needs his viewpoint, listen, he needs his viewpoint to be corrected, and he's waiting for that to happen. Sometimes, church, when you pray to God and you just ask him for things and you're waiting on him and you think you know what you need, you might want to wait to have your viewpoint corrected. Because God has the answer. Habakkuk knows that he needs his viewpoint corrected, and that's why he's waiting for that to happen. Heartland, it's important to recognize that we can have questions and we can fail to understand what God is doing. But we must also recognize that God, listen, that God is right and he will correct our failed misunderstanding. So how will God answer Habakkuk now? In chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Habakkuk needs to get ready. So when you ask God and pray to God, get ready. God provides a two-point answer. In verses 2 and 3, we see God tell Habakkuk to write down this answer so that everyone is able to see it. Church, it would be something like saying to put this message on a billboard so that everyone driving by, Brother Scott, will be able to read it. The reason everyone needs to see this message, church, is because it is certainly coming. Church, listen. God's response may be slow, Brother Theron, but wait. Wait for it, because it will definitely come. One of the things that we can forget is that our God, excuse me, is never late. God always acts at the right time, but it's not your time. That's not your choice. We can think God is late and not responding. But I stopped to tell you this morning, church, that God always responds at the right moment. Many of you know the story. Mary and Martha, and they thought Jesus was too late to help Lazarus. But Mary and Martha learned that Jesus was not late. Church, listen. He was going to act at the right time because Jesus already knew what he was going to do. In Habakkuk 2, verse 4, Habakkuk is going to learn that he needs to get faith. So what needs to be put on the billboard? What does everybody need to hear? God proclaims in verse 4 that there are two groups of people. The first group of people are described in the first part of verse 4. We can describe the first group as the arrogant and proud. God says that their spirit is not right within them. Church, it is a spirit of self-sufficiency. Church, to better understand what this means, we need to contrast this to the second group, which is described in the second part of verse 4. The righteous shall live by his faith. Church, that verse becomes a key New Testament truth. The righteous will live by his faith. It's quoted in Romans 1, verse 17. Galatians 3, verse 11, and Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now, Heartland, I want us to just stop and think about this answer. Habakkuk does not understand what God is doing. It does not seem right. It does not make any sense to Habakkuk. God says, put the message on the sign so that everyone who runs can read it. God further says to wait for it because it is going to happen. Church, listen, our God is not late. What God intends to do will absolutely happen. So now, here is the message. The proud have the wrong spirit, but the righteous, Sister Body, will live by his faith. The proud, Annie O, trust in themselves. The righteous live by trusting God. Heartland, what is God saying, and how is this an answer to Habakkuk's perplexities? Heartland, God's point is, listen, that the righteous do not live by having all the answers. I want to say this again. You need to quit praying to God thinking you got the answer. The righteous do not have all the answers. The righteous do not live by understanding what God is doing. The righteous do not live by trusting in themselves. The righteous do not live by looking within themselves for the answers. I know this is hard for us to hear because we don't pray like this. The righteous live, listen, by putting their faith in God and understanding that I don't have the answer. God's answer to Habakkuk is that you need to trust that God is doing and what God is doing. Church, relationship with God means trusting in who God is and what God is doing in your life. The people, listen, whose spirit is not right, do not trust God and trust his answers. So God is putting forth, church, this important answer. If we are not trusting in God, listen, then we are trusting in ourselves. If we do not live by faith in our God, then we are living by faith in ourselves. Church, please think about how this is a key message in Hebrews chapter 11. The people of faith, most of you know it's called the Hall of Faith, are showing that they live their life by trusting in what God says, not, listen, not what they understand. Noah was warned about unseen events. Abraham was asked to leave his home, not knowing where he was going. Abraham was asked to offer up his only son through whom God had promised to bless the world. How in the world, Lord, does it make sense for me to offer up my son who you said through his seed are going to come the promises? How can I do that if he's not here? Church, the people of Israel, by faith, walked on dry ground when the Red Sea parted. The walls of Jericho fell by faith. The author of Hebrews is emphasizing this truth in Hebrews 11. The righteous live their lives, listen, by putting their trust in God, not in themselves. Heartland, trust is easy when we understand what's happening. Trust is easy when what is going on in our lives makes sense, when it's fair, when it's equitable. True trust, however, is when you do not understand, but you continue trusting God anyhow. Think about this in the life of Peter. In Matthew 14, 31, Jesus tells Peter to walk on the water to him. True trust acts, church, even when it does not make sense. Remember what Jesus said to Peter when Peter began to sink. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? So, church, what is God teaching us through Habakkuk when we don't understand? You don't get any other part of the message, get this. The big message to us is to know, listen, know that God is never late while the faithful wait. You got to keep on being faithful while you wait. You can't pray to God, try to do it yourself, and then blame God. The big message is to know that God is never late, but we got to keep on, Sister Jameson, plowing and being faithful in spite of what the circumstances are. When we don't understand, Habakkuk needed to trust God, even though he did not understand what God was doing regarding the Babylonians and the people of God. All the people of faith trusted God, even when they didn't understand what God was commanding them to do or did not understand what God was doing himself. But, church, here's one thing I want us to think about. Since in Isaiah 55, 8, and 9, the Bible teaches that God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are better than our thoughts. Then why would we ever think that we must understand what God is doing in our lives and in the world? His ways are better than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. Therefore, Brother Hayden, I must walk by faith. Faith proclaims that I can trust in God, even though I do not understand. Now, I want y'all to hear this good. Pride says, listen, I need to understand what God is doing or I will not follow him. Heartland, listen. The spirit of self-sufficiency is one of the greatest dangers to true faith. We must hear what God is advertising on the sign. Our spirit is not right within us when we are unwilling, church, to live by faith. God's question to us at the end of the day, Sister Elise, when we're in the midst of suffering, or when we don't understand, is simply this. Do you trust me? Heartland, do you trust God when he asks you to step out of the boat and walk on water? When the wind and waves start picking up in 2026, will you continue to trust God and keep walking toward him with him? Church, listen. You keep walking forward with God, even when you do not understand, because this is the essence, D, of faith. Keep walking forward with God, even when you don't understand. Why, Brother Red? Because this is the essence of your faith. Keep walking forward with God, because that is what the righteous do. Church, listen, living by faith means we will continue to remain faithful to God even in the face of adversity. That means that when it's hard to obey, we will still obey. We will continue to be faithful to God even when we do not understand. Too many times, people want to cast off their faith because they don't understand. Well, you know, Brother Red, I was going through some things and I just couldn't make it to church today. I was so overcome with myself. The call for faithfulness Heartland, listen. The call for faithfulness is the greatest when we're struggling to understand what God is doing. Before going through the people of faith, the writer of Hebrews lists in chapter 11, listen to what he teaches at the end of chapter 10, verse 35 through 39, that connects faith to faithfulness. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. I want y'all to hear this part good. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back. Heartland, we're not that group. We're not going to do that. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. But here's who we are in 2026, of those who have faith and preserve their souls. That's where you want to be. You can't look back because you're not going that direction. Church, notice the proclamation that we must not throw away what we have. Keep your faith and keep on being faithful. But we have need of endurance. Why, Brother Red? So that we will continue to do God's will and receive what's promised to us. The proof for his teaching is from quoting Habakkuk 2:4. Then he draws this important conclusion. Church, we are not those who will shrink back and are destroyed. Heartland, listen, we are not going to give up ever as Christians. We are not going to be unfaithful no matter what it looks like. We're not going to stop doing what God has asked us to do because we are those who have faith. We believe, and through our faith, God will save us. Church, listen. Be patient. Wait in faith when you don't understand. Keep trusting God to get you through. Keep trusting God, Sister Katrina, because God is going to answer. God understands that we struggle, but we need each other. Don't let anybody turn you around because it's hard. Wait. Just because I don't understand only simply means that I need to stay faithful and keep plowing and trusting God. Because God is never late. And he's going to show up. Some of you this morning might be managing things you don't understand. You might be managing things that don't seem right. Don't you dare quit. Get up. Put on your spiritual shoes and let's go. Let's walk. Don't let anybody dissuade you. In spite of what's going on, you just remain faithful. It's easy to be faithful when it's easy. It's not a challenge. But Heartland, if we'll just stay faithful, watch God bless us. We want to be that church that 50 years now they talk about because of our faithfulness. Yeah, they started with two or three people, but look what God did. We can do that. But you can't draw up because it gets hard. You don't have the answers, so you must walk by faith. I hope this morning I've said some things that would encourage your heart. We can do this. I know we can, because I know the God we serve, and you do too. The best predictor of the future in our relationship with our God is past relevant behavior. What has he done for you before? He didn't quit, and don't you quit either. If you're here this morning, you've never named the name of Jesus. Never have you been baptized. The Bible teaches in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What are you hearing? The gospel, the good news of Jesus. Jesus came, he died on Calvary. God raised him from the dead, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. You got to believe the gospel. In Mark 16 and 15 and 16, the Bible teaches, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not will be condemned. Once you've heard and believed the gospel, the Bible teaches that you must repent of your past sins. In Luke 13, 3, the Bible says, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. After you have heard, believed, and repented, the Bible teaches that you must confess the name of Jesus. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. That's a public confession. Once you hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, you need to be baptized. Sorry, once you hear, believe, repent, confess, you must be baptized. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, on the day of Pentecost, when they asked Peter, what should they do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And church, if you will do that, in Acts 2:47, God will add you to the church. And that's where your Christian walk begins. God will add you to the church. There's only one church in the Bible, and don't you let anybody fool you. You've never seen more than one in the Bible. People say all the time, well, it doesn't matter what church you go to. That's partially true. It doesn't matter which church you go to if you're not in the one that's in the Bible. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian and you've been trying to do things with self-sufficiency rather than trusting God, humble yourself, honor God, wait, stay faithful, no matter what it looks like. Sister Tangi, stay faithful. Sister Sylvia, stay faithful. Sheikha, stay faithful. Don't ever quit serving God. D, stay faithful. Get up when it's hard. Come to worship, serve God, honor God, live for the Lord. God will take care of your matters. He knows how. When you pray to God, you're not telling him something that he don't already know. Habakkuk didn't tell him anything that he didn't already know. Can I tell you something else? You can't either. But the blessing is when you hold on. And you hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. See, there's going to come a time when the wicked will cease troubling you and the weary will be at rest. Heartland, we thank you for listening carefully this morning. I hope I've said something that would encourage your hearts. At this time, we will move from the worship part, from the preaching part of our worship to the Lord's Supper.